Hey everybody, Matt Fugitive here with the Noob Shelter, broadcasting not live from deep underneath the city of Tacoma and the Noob Shelter bunker. So we had to take off this Friday due to some personal issues that arose. We will be back next Friday, 9 p.m. Pacific, as per normal, noobshelter.com/live. But we have a treat for you tonight. In place of us going live, we're going to do a legacy episode. What that means is I went ahead and stripped all of the audio out of our live video casts, our live webcast that we did back in the day. And I'm just going to upload it up to our podcast server. And you're going to download it and listen to it. Now, these episodes are going to be a lot longer than an hour, because back then we were a lot younger, a lot more spry. We were able to sit on a computer and chit-chat for hours on end. So I think this one is about 2 hours. And this episode is actually kind of special. This episode originally aired back in 2014, August 23rd, 2014 to be exact. And we have a couple of hosts that you probably never heard of. John Porta used to do the Noob Shelter with us back in the day when we did a webcast. And Kenori, my brother, was also on there. Rhythone is also there. And this is the first debut of Fade to Black. His name was Mike Fitzpatrick back in the day. But we call him Fade to Black now, or Mike. But this is his first podcast with, or his first episode that he ever did with the Noob Shelter. So it's pretty special. I'm looking forward to it. So I hope you guys enjoy. This episode is entitled Do the Fish, and it's because we tear ass into Phil Fish. This is during the whole Gamergate scandal thing that was going on, and Kenori does a really good job at letting everybody know his mind. So this is a very special episode that we're doing, that we did, and I hope you guys enjoy. I think this one's pretty funny. So enjoy, and we'll see you next Friday. Thanks.
Poor choice of words, Matt. Poor choice of words.
I am your host, Matt Fugitive. Sorry about all the technical hoojois bourgeois. I got thrown off my game. It's all right, though. We still survive and strive on. With me tonight, a lucky bunch of lads. We got a new guy who we're going to break in. We got a returning veteran of our first episode and two guys who just won't stay off the damn show.
I'm a co-host.
Of course. You all know Kenori. Kenori, what's up, man? How's it going?
Tired. Playing lots of WildStar. Trying to get a job. Other than that, nothing.
I'm sorry. You gotta get a job. So you did hook me up with WildStar, though, and I appreciate it so much, the 7-day pass. I'll talk about it later in the show. I am really excited that I actually got a chance to play this game. It exceeded my expectations.
And you're only level 5.
I'm only level 5 so far. That's, yeah.
Wait until you're 50.
I'm not going to raid. I'm going to be the professional.
I'm not even raiding yet. I'm not even into raiding. I just did my
dungeons.
First dungeon.
I'm not going to do anything, man. I'm just going to be the professions pimp. That's it. I'm just going to make a bunch of stuff and sell it. That's all I'm going to do. Also returning for the show for his third time in a row, and I don't mind this because he's really awesome, John Porter's with us. John, what's going on, dude?
Oh, you know, the usual, running around, and same deal, WildStar, a little bit of League here and there.
Ooh, LOL. I want some LOL. I gotta get back into LOL. I haven't played LOL in forever. And then, of course, our chat room mod for tonight, who's actually here, and I'm excited. And, dude, your cam looks so much better. I don't know what you did with the lighting, but it looks awesome. Rhythone is with us. Dude, what is going on?
Welcome back, guys. Technical difficulties with work got me to have the evening off for the time being, so I thought I would jump on.
Yay, thanks for Citrix being shit. Fuck Citrix. And making his grandiose debut on the Noob Shelter, ladies and gentlemen, from the Scotch Guard Regimen, if I remember correctly. I don't know if he's still planning on doing it or not. Mr. Michael Fitzpatrick, Mikey Fitz, is with us tonight. What's going on, Mike?
Not much. Yeah, I'm still part of SGR.
When are you going to open up the Tacoma chapter?
Still working on it. We have a long-time member on this side of the state, but being able to actually meet up with him since our schedules are so varied and so crazy has been a bit bit difficult, but that's in the works.
You said you were going to swear me into this elite guard of yours, and I don't know what that entails, if it entails lube and paddles and stuff like that, but I'm ready and willing, man. I mean, I tried doing the Spokane Gamers Guild in Spokane, and that failed.
That's because people who took over after you took a giant shit on it.
Well, not the gaming club. I'm talking about the Gamers Guild.
Spokane
Guild, Gamers Guild, not the Spokane Community College Gaming Club or Gaming Guild.
Yeah.
Or the SCC Gamers Guild. Yeah, that I know, but I'm talking about the Spokane Gamers Guild. It got too weird. Because, see, I'm a nice guy. I like to include everybody in everything and give feedback. I'm not like a dictator type leader. I'm more of a open leader. Give me your ideas. What do you think? And I will try to encompass them. And I have a hard time giving people creative feedback, you know, creative criticism, as it were. So, you know, and because of that, it failed miserably. We had too much crap going on and too many chiefs and not enough Indians. So,
yeah, well, it's understandable. I mean, for any of you guys who are in Spokane, I would recommend joining SGR. I mean, they've been around for over 30 years. Things are slightly different, but they're trying to regroup and, you know, bring things together.
Right.
Be a larger presence like they were, they have been before. And it's a very, a great bunch of people to be around. And I've certainly enjoyed and don't regret any time I've spent as a part of SGR at this point in time. And
cool.
Looking, having a regiment out here has been kind of put on hold, mainly because just stuff has been so crazy lately.
Well, yeah, it has.
I still game. I still have people who come over and game with me every now and again, and I still play Magic, and, you know, I still do video games every now and again. And
yeah,
you know, I think the most recent obsession is I finally just jumped on the bandwagon and started playing Minecraft recently, and that's been the bane of my wife's existence.
Rhythone can probably answer your question that we talked last night, because he runs a Minecraft server. What mod are you got on it right now?
We are running the Horizons mod pack with a couple other ones thrown in there right now. So about 124 mods.
Is that updated to latest Minecraft so I could ride horses and shit?
Yeah, we're 1.64, so there's horses.
So you're a little bit behind, but you're still... Okay, cool. My question for you, I guess, would be something we discussed last night. Does he need to have a legit Mojang account to connect to a remote server?
Yep.
He does.
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay, because he's...
Well, I mean, as far as legit Mojang accounts, I mean, I created one. I haven't purchased the game, so I don't have, like, the full account, but I registered my an email address with them, so I have, like, a generic email account with them.
It checks your username to the account and whether or not it's valid before launching, so it probably wouldn't work, but you could try.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
But thank you, Rhython, for that, and we appreciate it. Glad to have you on the show, Mike. And let's go ahead and get started here, guys. This just in, I'm sure you've all heard the tale of Zoe Quinn. If you haven't, it's okay, because I just heard about it last night. And I decided, and I was researching it till the wee hours of the morning, because I want to talk about some indie gamer development chick that had sex with a bunch of reporters and created all sorts of crap. So, again, if you're just hearing about it, Zoe Quinn is an indie game developer. She developed a game called Depression Quest. Apparently, it just got released to the Greenlight on Steam. So I don't know exactly what is what it's about. I think it's a game to help people with depression. Anyways, the Zoe Quinn. Anyways, she was brought out or called out by her ex-boyfriend for allegedly having sex with game reviewers and other people to get her game in the spotlight. So the timeline of events as it goes is on December 4th, 2013, she submitted her game to Greenlight on Steam. On December 12th of the same year, she posted several tweets of how she was being harassed for putting the game on Greenlight from a Chan board called Wizard Chan. I didn't know they had a Chan called the Wizard Chan.
Wizard Chan for anything.
That is so Chan-y. Let me get this up here and over. What do we got here? Cool. And then on August 11th, the game was released on Steam via Greenlight. And then on August 16th, Zoe's ex-boyfriend made a wonderful WordPress account and posted the following post. I dated Zoe Quinn. Yeah, my brain's going to explode. I dated Zoe Quinn. I thought she was the most amazing, kind-hearted person in the world. Turns out she was bullshitting pretty much everything I fell in love with her for, and is actually an unbelievable jerk. Wow, a guy calling a girl a jerk. That is fucking crazy. She effortlessly lied and manipulated for months simply because it was not believable that someone could be that selfish of a person, that convincing of a liar, and that good of a manipulator while adamantly arguing against the very principles she espoused. So, guys, what do you think? Does that sound like a pissed off boyfriend?
Or I would be pissed off, too, if my girlfriend slept around with a bunch of reporters. But,
okay, so you guys would actually have to check out the blog. I did have a link on there for him to post. Unfortunately, I don't have the link anymore. But he did list off a bunch of people who she supposedly slept with. Mind you, this is supposedly. Now let's move on to the online reaction. Of course, all the wonderful troll boys out there in the World Wide Web, gamers, geeks, neckbeards, chanters, and Redditors alike all jumped on the bandwagon to get after this chick. On August 17th, a bunch of screenshots came up that provided evidence that Quinn faked being harassed by Wizard Chan users to garner support for her game to the subreddit Tumblr in Action. Is where they posted this. The same day, Tumblr user Casey Vidarance published a blog post denouncing Quinn for using Robin Williams' suicide to promote her game and faking harassment for sympathy. If that's the case, if that's the fact, then fuck this girl up the ass. Not really, metaphorically.
Poor choice of words, Matt. Poor choice of words.
Yeah, I said metaphorically and hope that somebody will drive a Toyota up there or something. I don't know. Anyways, meanwhile, Escapist Magazine Forums member Rebrandt submitted a thread about the scandal, which criticizes Quinn's behavior in video game blogs for ignoring the story. Later on the 20th, JonTron, a fellow YouTuber and stuff like that, made multiple tweets about Zoe, which garnered attention around Twitter. Prior to the release of Quinn's game on April 11th, 2014, Wizard Chan, the site Quinn said she had allegedly received harassment from for placing the game on Greenlight, counterclaimed that they did not dox her in a series of images that conveys their side of the story with a chronological breakdown and explanation why they didn't target her. So for those of you guys who don't know, doxing is the act of hacking somebody and stealing and grabbing their personal information and posting it up on the web for everyone to see. Apparently this is what happened to this lady through this Wizard Chan place. Wizard Chan denounced it and called her a fucking liar. Which, at this point, I'm not exactly sure who's right and who's wrong. But this gets better. This really gets better. So an unforeseen force decides to be Superman, and possibly what I can conceive as an attempt to get laid that ultimately failed. He attempted to speak out for her. On August 17th, indie game developer, and you should know him all and well, Phil Fish, the guy who made Fez, the guy who was on that indie game movie, who was batshit crazy, defended Quinn on Twitter, calling those who were attacking her cowards and claimed he was canceling projects in retaliation. Now, if you go look for Fish's Twitter account, it has since been locked down and or removed. Last time I looked, it was on lockdown. Some people have reported it is removed. This is what he actually tweeted. I have a screenshot here. All you people attacking Zoe. Let me go ahead and bring it up to the browser real quickly here. There you go. All you people attacking Zoe are cowards. Attacking a woman the easiest way you can. Despicable cowards, all of you. Obviously, he needs to work on his pronunciation. All you're doing is making her more visible and giving her message more reach, and revealing yourselves as the subhuman little shits that you are. Absolutely pathetic, ballless man boobs. What the fuck?
Did it say man boobs?
It does say
man boobs.
Ballless man boobs.
Excellent.
Your browser was skewed right there, by the way.
What's that?
At least on my screen, the browser shot you had was basically cutting everything off.
Yeah, it's going to cut everything off on yours because what you can see through Skype.
Gotcha. Okay.
Also, who the hell calls people a subhuman?
A subhuman themselves.
Mm-hmm. No, a fucking neckbeard.
Anyways, Fish at one point went as far as to compare people who are attacking Quinn as rapists. However, he deleted this tweet moments after posting it, so we weren't able to get a screenshot. Now here's where it gets better. Now apparently, Zoe Quinn stated that she was hacked and somebody posted her personal information online. On August 19th, she claimed that her Tumblr and Twitter page were both hacked and that she had been doxxed by users from V over at 4chan. Okay? I did not know V did this shit. But I'm not done. We'll get into it in a little bit. The post was subsequently deleted. That day, Tumblr user The Specular Spider Girl pointed out several inconsistencies in the story as evidence that Quinn fabricated the whole hacking incident. In addition, the phone numbers included in the Tumblr docs post were found to have no connection with Zoe. The number listed as her dad's work is no longer functional and was associated with a closed-down motorcycle store called Twin Tech Motorcycle Shop. The number that was listed as Zoe's cell phone connected to a text to landline phone located in Hawaii. A lot of people are thinking that she doxxed herself and did a horrible job at it. It gets better, though. On August 21st, Phil Fish's account went down. Later that day, his account reappeared, but his account was protected. So his Twitter account died and then came back up in a protected status. He tweeted that his account was doxxed and that this is video games and this is what he gets. At the same time, the Polytron Corporation, where Phil Fish resides, their website was taken down and replaced with a logo of Five Guys Burger and Fries along with the text. Here is a picture of that, guys. Let me go ahead and go into browser mode. Ooh, that's so cool. Let me see if I can zoom in. I don't know if I can zoom in on that. There we go. Look at that. That is disgusting. Okay, the text reads, and I quote, "Hello, everyone. I am the head mod over at V. Notice the capital V. And leader of 4chan.org and Anonymous, as if they had leaders. This public execution of Polytron and Phil Fish is in retaliation for his attempted cover-up of Five Guys Burgers and Fries. This is what they're calling Zoe Quinn's affair, Five Guys Burgers and Fries, because she fucked five guys. Let this be a warning to all SJW, I think it's Silent Justice Warrior game developers out there. We are coming, or Social Justice Warrior game developers out there. We are coming for you. The hack of Zoe Quinn has already taken place as of a few days ago, and I have targeted more Social Justice Warrior indie devs today. My next target is Phil Fish. Karma is a bitch, ain't it, Phil? We are the. We do not forgive at all.
I like
forward
how you
slash
went from
slash four slash four slash four slash four.
I like how you went from a normal accent to a, like an angry French German.
Oui, oui. Via V. Via V for vegan.
You're anyways, a fucking vegan.
Obviously, somebody surfs on V. I'm just kidding. Yeah. So this has been going on for some time now. There's too much data to go through on this shit. Have any of you guys heard of the story and any thoughts that you might have?
I will say it was a pleasant story to read up on when I woke up this morning.
You're welcome.
But I'm just going to read what JonTron posted about it. And other than the beginning of the story, which is all I really have to say about it, is pretty much everything I feel about it. I met JonTron. This is JonTron. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I met Zoe Quinn back during Game Jam, and I can say she is nothing to start an internet controversy over. LOL. I feel the same way. Now, the thing is that it's funny that she made a game for depression, and yet she had her fuck five guys just to get her game noticed. Like, there's nothing wrong with fucking a lot of people.
Allegedly.
But there's nothing wrong with fucking a lot of people. She's... If a person just did that, that's just being promiscuous. There's nothing wrong with that.
This just in from Noob Shelter HQ, I finally sold that fucking copy of Tetris on eBay that I've been trying to sell. Anyways, as you were saying, Kanori, sorry.
Where was I? Fuck you, Tetris. There's an issue. It's true. There's an issue with the girl if she's that much of an attention... I'm not going to say the other word because that's just not the bad juju. But you know what I mean.
Just say attention whore.
She's an attention whore. If she has to do that, and all of this making shit up, I after I heard that, and like that I fully comprehended that, it's like I don't even want to talk about it much anymore, after what I just said. But it's fucking silly. It's stupid, and, you know...
And that's why we're talking about it on the show, because it is silly and stupid and gave me one hell of a fucking chuckle
between it was funny as shit.
Between 10:45 p.m. and 1:30 a.m. yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I think the whole point was this right now. I mean, we're talking about it. That right there is...
It's not going to make
biggest
me feel
success.
But it's not going to make me feel sad for Phil Fish or for Zoe Quinn, and it's not going to make...
Fish is a fucking chode.
Well, no, I mean, it's... The fact is that, this all happened, this all broke, and everyone is talking about it. Everyone knows her name, everyone's talking about Phil Fish and and Zoe, about her game and all this stuff. And, even if it's a small percentage of those people who've heard and are talking about it and check out her game, that's still going to be a considerable amount.
Right. Because, it's publicity.
Yeah, exactly. It's publicity over the internet. It's spread like wildfire.
My question would be, though, what kind of publicity are they giving themselves other than negative publicity? I mean, she's pretty much digging herself in a fucking hole right now in her game. I know it's on Steam, but I don't know how it's doing. And Phil Fish, well, he's essentially wrapping up he's wrapping up all the fucking Polytron, and he's getting ready to sell Polytron and the Fez IP. I mean, we'll talk about Phil Fish in a minute here. I got some beef with him, but I mean, as far as the Zoe girl, I don't know. I mean, here's John Porter. You've been kind of quiet. What's your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, it's. I don't know. Whatever fucking works. I mean, if you can, if you can get people interested, it doesn't matter whether it's negative or positive. It's publicity, and it fucking worked.
I mean,
I'm
not gonna lie. I would fuck the shit out of a ton of people just to get a game published or reviewed positively. I was that attractive,
to jump on that bandwagon.
So I'm on Steam right now, and I just looked up Depression Quest. And release date on it says August 11th.
Uh-huh.
And as far as comments, reviews, there are 3,400 people who found one review helpful or not helpful.
Okay.
The total amount of reviews, let's see, how many reviews are on here? 1,311 reviews since the 11th. And it's the only thing is, I think she probably did wrong, is it's a free game on Steam. You can download it for free and install it and play it.
It has,
but there's 1,300 people who've already reviewed it, which means they probably already played it.
Somebody in the chat room asked if her last name was Kardashian. Oh, yay!
Five positive reviews. That's all it had.
Really? So it's horrible.
That the thing is, what Fitzpatrick was saying, though, is if she had just put it up there for $2, she would have made, like, $1,300, $13,000 off of it.
just from fucking five guys. Well, allegedly fucking five guys.
Yeah. Well, you could do better in Vegas in like the less amount of time it takes to build a video
game. We don't know how good this girl looks and if she's clean or not.
Oh my god, are you serious? Here, browser cam. There she is. Holding a bunch of chibis or some shit.
Her?
Yeah, that's her. That's Zoe Quinn. Yeah. That's what she looks like.
Meh.
We're not going to get into a meh.
If I worked at Kotaku, I'd hit that.
Anyways, so... but a lot of people have come out of the woodwork, though. On Reddit, on 4chan, all over the place. I
saying they fucked Zoe Quinn?
I braved 4chan and I braved V just to go. Well, you don't have to really worry about V too much. It's V that you have to worry about. 4chan
isn't bad
V.
anymore.
But I did go through. I did brave through 4chan a little bit today to see what everyone in V was talking about, and of course they were talking about her. And a lot of people have come out and said, you know what, she's full of shit. Nobody's harassing her. No one has actually said whether or not the boyfriend was telling the truth or not. I mean. I don't know where to go with that. That kind of sounds like crazy psycho, overly attached ex-boyfriend to me, that he would go out and do something like that.
Hey,
I mean,
people can be like that, though. Like you just said, though, is it could be real, it could be fake. It could be him just jealous over a breakup or some shit.
Yeah.
Maybe
and if he's jealous over a breakup, he should play Depression Quest. They heard it helps people to get over depression.
Now, as far as Phil... Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, another thing could be is that it's all show. He could have been a part of it, and they could have planned this out together, and they put it out there, and it went, you know, it caught on, and yeah, negative.
Too many guys.
Maybe they tried positive, and it didn't freaking work, so negative.
Too many lives have gotten fucked over in this, let's just say.
The thing about that is, you know, what's the point? He's not getting any money out of it. It's just publicity, albeit bad or good. If they got money out of it, I could kind of see it. But
look at
their
fucking game on Steam. What publicity was that?
Well, that's just it, though. Is even if the game is free on Steam, if he did any programming at all for it, if he did any design or development in that game at all, if someone comes along, that's
actually
gonna
help him if it's a shitty game.
Well, no, it's not. I don't know if it's
a
shitty game.
Apparently, it's a shitty game from what you just said.
Well, that, but we don't know how many that is people who are saying negative things about it because of the whole situation.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that, because it looks to me like you could, if you have an account, you don't technically have to play it to actually review it.
That should be the next Fugitive Versus, would be Fugitive Versus Depression Quest.
I heard the game, instead of curing depression, actually causes it.
I don't know. Rhythone, you've been kind of quiet. What are your thoughts?
I'm not even entirely sure what to make of it. I was just looking over the reviews and what people have commented on, the fact that there's only 5 positive comments for the game.
Yeah, I noticed
so,
that
wait,
too.
Wait, sorry. One of the good comments actually says, so bad it literally destroyed the video game journalism industry.
No, it didn't. We're still here. We're just making it worse. We're adding salt to the wound.
11 minutes. Beat that.
So,
thanks, Five Guys Burger and Fries.
So let's talk about Phil Fish, though, because here's my take on Phil Fish getting got or doxxed. Okay, Phil Fish, as many of you may or may not know, is I'm pretty sure he's bi fucking polar or OCD or all of the above, and that's I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult any bipolar people or anyone with OCD. Comparing him to you, I have no other way of describing this guy. He has been on social media. He does not know how to handle trolls. Let's say that. He gets butthurt over what. If one person says his game is shit, he will go crawl in a closet and cry for 7 hours. Okay? This is what this guy does. He feeds off negativity and he spews it back into the Twitter sphere or the Tumblr sphere or wherever. You know, he is not meant to be in the video game industry. He created Fez. Fez is a goddamn good game. If you haven't played it, please, by all means, play it. Yes, you're supporting the Antichrist possibly by doing so, but it is worth it. even if you got to go out and pirate it, just do it. I mean, because it is such a really good fucking platformer. Oh, if you got a PlayStation Plus subscription, you can get Fez for free right now out of the PlayStation Store. Highly recommend you download it. It's free, so they're not getting any money that I can think of. One of the things he was quoted as saying about Fez 2 is, like, you guys are not getting Fez 2. You guys don't deserve it. And he was talking to all the gamers out there. And that's based on, like, maybe, like, what, 500 or 600 evil tweets he got that he probably spearheaded when he, you know, replied to a tweet or something like that in a very negative fashion. Who knows? Now, a lot of people are saying Phil Fish also doxed himself. Apparently, there's a 1.3 or 1.5 gigabyte file flying around out there in the World Wide Web containing a ton of internal documentation from Polytron, his video game company, emails and all sorts of stuff. Apparently, Social Security numbers are getting flown around as well, too, his. One of the developers of Polytron did acknowledge that their site did get hacked, but they're not exactly sure who hacked it. As you guys have read from that wonderful little post, do you guys honestly think Anonymous had anything to do with this?
No.
It's
fucking retarded. They probably wouldn't do
that. I mean, one, you don't call... If it's Anonymous, you don't call yourself the leader of Anonymous. You don't call yourself... If it's 4chan, you don't call yourself the leader of 4chan or the mod of V.
That's something a 13-year-old kid who just discovered 4chan would have done.
I mean, maybe it was a freak or one of the... A script kitty? I don't want to say freak. Freak is phone people. No, script kitty, guys, maybe? I don't even think a script kitty would go that low.
I think it was him.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's him. And, you know, I think... I don't know if you guys are on the same fence, but I agree. I think it was Phil Fish that doxed himself. I keep saying gox. I've been reading a lot of Bitcoin, guys. Sorry, I don't mean to say gox.
Right. I wouldn't put it past him if he actually did it himself. I mean, you know, it's completely and utterly ridiculous for someone to say, oh, I'm...
Would you agree that this falls back on your whole, I'm trying to promote myself and make people feel sorry for me type thing, Mike?
I think so. I really do. I mean, this is, it's not out of the possibility for him because he never has reacted well to stuff like that.
Right.
Even when someone, you know, even through alpha and beta of Fez, I saw several complete and utter rants of his, and I just, after like the 500th in like a 6-month period, I just stopped listening. And
yeah, just have you guys seen the indie game movie?
I think I've seen it.
Okay. Yeah,
I think it was on Netflix, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on Netflix. I think it's still on Netflix. I highly recommend you guys go see it or watch it if you can. You can probably find it for free on YouTube or somewheres. I'm sure you can find it somewheres that you can stream it. I highly recommend you watch it. One, it gives a really awesome background story on Super Meat Boy. Those guys, that development team is fucking awesome. And then on the other hand, you get to see Phil Fish in all his gleaming glory, developing through the Fez development phases and how he reacts and how he's freaking out and stuff like that. It's just...
Well, I mean, you gotta like show both sides of the
I don't think they meant to do that with him, though. I think that just came out during the movie.
Yeah, well, even if it wasn't intentional, I mean, you showed the Meat Boy devs where they were freaking awesome, and they had a ton of support going through, and when that game released, it exploded. And then going through the Fez development with Phil Fish, and they just utterly... I don't even think crazy or insane even can sum up how he is, how he reacts, because it's just, it's once again no words, because he's so fucking ridiculous. And you know, that opposite and like completely opposite of end of the spectrum where he just completely falls apart, which I personally don't know how Fez came out as good as it did.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised too. Any other thoughts, guys? John, Porta?
I don't know. I mean, I am so far out of the indie scene that it's not even funny. Like,
gotta get in, man. Indie scene is where it's at, yo. No, I'm just kidding.
Indie scene's getting shitty. Yeah, I am that customer, that impatient douche. It's just like, if other people don't like it, then I'll agree with them.
I'm kind of the same way at some aspects, so I kind of see where you're going there. I do that a lot.
I'm impatient.
Yeah, me too. Rhython?
This all just came out of nowhere, so I don't really have too much of an opinion on it.
Fuck him. Fuck Phil Fish.
Pretty much that, and it does seem like a way to try and just drum up, if nothing else, just hits to the game.
If you would be so kind as to throw in those reference links there, Rhython. We're going to drop some links in there. You guys can read up on the story as well underneath sources. More than welcome to check them out and get your own views and thoughts on what could possibly be going on with this. I mean, you know, it sucks for all parties involved that, you know, people got dragged into this. I mean, there was another YouTube channel person who got dragged into this, and because I guess he posted something about Zoe Quinn, and then she launched a DMCA attack on him, and then, yeah. Sleepy Panda says, I still feel bad his bank account and SSN was put online. I still think he did it. I really do.
Who would do that to themselves, though?
Because he's fucking, insane. This is Phil Fish. Like I said, watch the documentary.
No. I think he's a little off. I think he's an asshole. I think he's a fucking chode. But, you know, no one deserves to have their identity stolen, and his is probably going to be on the Russian black market in a moment.
Is legit, SSN.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point. What I was going to say. What if that? You know, what? How do we know that information is actually legit and it's not something that he made up?
Here's a better one for you, Fitz, and guys and gals out there watching tonight. Thank you for joining us. By the way, it looks like we're getting kind of busy out there in Twitch land. Here's a bigger question: if this is in fact all true, if Quinn was doxxed and if Fish was doxxed, where are the police? Where is the FBI? Where's the law enforcement agencies involved in all this?
Neither of them are important enough for that sort of investigation.
It still would be. Social security numbers getting leaked online. Well, at least in Phil Fish's case, if his social security number was leaked online, that would at least prompt an investigation from the FBI.
Yeah.
Because they would jump on that in a heartbeat, only because they could trace that back to like a cell maybe of people doing this, and then, you know, get other people who are, you know, capture like a whole group of people maybe just randomly posting social security numbers online. They would jump on that just for the social security number aspect.
And I'm pretty sure his react would be over the top like it always is, and it wasn't. I mean, his reaction to having his information out there was, you know, strangely
calming.
Yeah, well, strangely docile.
Out of character. Mm-hmm.
Let this be a lesson to you, kids. A little fugitive perspective for you tonight. don't feed trolls. Okay, don't engage them. If somebody's got an issue with you or a beef or hate your fucking show or hate your fucking website or hate your game, just be like, okay, thank you for your input and move on.
You know what's funny?
Don't even say that. Just move on. There is a block button on Twitter. There is an ignore button on Facebook. There is, you know, you can block people. Those features are there. And if they want to waste your time creating fake accounts just to attack you again, then that's on them. They're wasting their human breath. They're wasting their only years on this planet that they could be doing more constructive activities, like actually playing real good video games or going outside and getting some sun or having a family, as opposed to, like, you know, just sitting there in front of their computer trolling you and whatnot. You know, they have no life. Ignore them, move on, and, you know, just be happy and live your life to the fullest. Don't feed these guys. I know for a fact. I did this when I was 18. When I ran a website, my first website, when I was 18 years old, I got a lot of negative feedback. I fed the trolls, and it caused me to lose my mind and give up on my site. Don't do that, okay? I've lived Phil Fish's life. I was the crazy batshit one many moons ago. Don't fucking do it, okay? I'm still alive. I'm rebuilding myself. Seriously. Kenwari, you were going to say something. Sorry, man.
Oh.
yes. No. Oh my god. No. Thoraya, Amy's Baking Company versus Ramsay should be proof enough. Thank you. As you were saying, Kenora, sorry.
No, when it comes to feeding those trolls, my group of friends that I talk to online, John already knows where I'm going with this. I'm like a trough to those trolls. like they just feed off. They don't need to troll anyone else.
Fertile ground.
It's simple. It's a mute button.
It's ignore. It's delete off your friends list on Facebook.
I tried doing that.
It's kicking the douchebag out of the guild. You know where I'm going with this, Knorri.
Unfortunately, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not one who's just going to be like, oh, they're trolling me. I'm just going to ignore them. No, I have I've actually honed this talent of mine where the trolls become trolled because I'm able to turn it around on them somehow, and I get them to beaker rage where they're up high, probably, you know, to the point where their testicles are up inside them. I just
think of the Westboro Baptist Church when you think of somebody bashing you online. Just think of how ridiculous those guys are and compare them to the guy bashing you and be like, oh, they're equally ridiculous. Rhythone, any thoughts?
I like to troll the trolls myself.
Exactly.
Well, you guys are setting a bad example. Porta?
Sorry. It's fun. It's way too fun.
Can I finish my talk quick, though?
Go ahead, Knorri, and then we'll go to Porta.
I was just going to say, though, like, before, like, you know, my friends, they feed off of me, but, you know, and yeah, Matt, normally I would, you know, block them or mute them or kick them out of TeamSpeak or the guild, but, you know, I used to get really mad at them, and John can attest to that. But if after, you know, I calmed my tits a bit, and, you know, it came to me, oh, that's just them being, you know, guys, that's just them being affectionate, you know, in their own, right. God damn it, Jonathan.
Fucking Donatello Glass.
But no, that's just a term of endearment in a way, not a term, but.
Hang on, I gotta get a print screen of this. This has got to be the cover for the noob shelter. I'm gonna make it so. Anyways,
no, don't think my friends are assholes. They're all really nice guys, except for like one of them.
I think I know which one you're talking about, right?
There are a few of them who are. They're all great in their own special way.
Porto, yeah. What are your thoughts, man?
It's getting really hot in this. I gotta leave. No, it's the trolling is fun. Like, it's always like there are people who you can just, like, in my experience online, depending on who's doing it, I mean, you can, like, straight legit respect a troll for just doing a good job. And, like,
right.
In some situations, like, if someone was trolling me, pretty hip to that, pretty used to it. Just, you know, my favorite comeback is just they post some weird shit and it's just, you know, hit that like button.
Okay,
just,
so
you agree with them and then they're disarmed.
Right. So we all agree to disagree on the fact that either you should feed trolls or you shouldn't. But my next question would be, based on your answers to all, you know, all your answers, would you spaz out as much as Phil Fish did?
No.
What about you, Knorri?
Based on our answers, I'm pretty sure that's a no.
Okay. All right. Just making sure, because you guys are saying, yeah, I'll feed the trolls. I mean, you all have your tactics for dealing with them. Mine is simply just ignore them and move on with life.
Yeah, and that's, you know, everyone else
is. My response to Phil Fish is he needs to smoke a joint.
I think he does, needs to relax. It's not helping, man.
No, when I was, like, all uppity and, like, my butthole was clenched, that's what one of my friends told me to do. It was like, you would help me calm down, Andy.
That could be why he's so paranoid to begin with, though.
That is,
no, that's not...
Same.
I don't think it's paranoia. That's
I'm not going to name names here. But I'm sure people out there would agree that he needs to come up to Washington State, smoke some of our crap now, you know.
Yeah.
Apparently, I guess the legal stuff is actually pretty good. I haven't tried it yet.
One joint, like a whole pound.
Oh yeah. Hey, just bring $20. You can buy a 20 bag at the store down the street now.
Yeah, right.
Welcome to Washington, where marijuana is legal. And I just realized everybody here lives in Washington State, which is cool. Everyone here is in Washington. We're all representing Washington. We got East Side Washington and Spokompton, and then we got West Side Washington. No, I said East Side Washington.
I said Spokompton, West Side.
And then we got West Side Washington. We got Camino Dude and Taco Dude and the guy that's kind of in the middle of it all.
Who's Taco Dude?
Oh, Mike is in Tacoma.
Taco.
Yeah, he puts the taco in C-Taco.
No, it's actually affectionately referred to as Taco Span because I live right on the border of Spanaway and Tacoma.
Oh, that's right. You do live on Spanaway and Tacoma. And I'm in Puyallup, Washington, although we broadcast out of Seattle. Our hub is in Seattle, so that's where we're...
That's fine.
Pooping it
regardless,
out.
We're all out of Washington. Who cares?
Someone said tacos, and I was like, wait, he's in the Tri-Cities?
Tacompton. Somebody says Tacompton in the chat. So, Rhythone, the glasses, man. What's the backstory? What's the backstory? Come on, give us the backstory.
They came in the loot crate. This month was supposed to be the Heroes theme. So it had turtles. The box actually was shaped like, or colored on the inside to look like the turtle's lair.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, and then it had a bunch of awesome little, mostly toys this month, no shirt. Video will probably be going up tomorrow once I go through and cut out a bit.
Sweet, I'll check it out. Maybe it'll get me to get back into Loot Crate. I don't know, man. That beef jerky ruined it for me.
That was a very, very
it was green.
Jerky. It was green. Oh, yeah, you saw that, right, Mike? Oh, yeah. That green dragon jerky. It was horrible. It was nasty. It was.
Did you have green poops?
No, I didn't. All it was beef jerky
and potato flakes.
And potato flakes with green dye.
Refuse to eat mine to this day. Still, I've got it with my on the Morrowind map.
Soon that'll get naturally green if you leave it sitting there long enough.
It won't be
artificially green. Not.
So wait, hold on. Everyone got that loot crate today?
No. This was the loot crate I got was a while ago.
I'm talking about Jonathan Freebirds.
Oh yeah.
Oh good. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
so
sure there might have been other colors, but
I would hope so.
In Spokane this morning, we had a really bad thunderstorm. Like, it woke me up and made me pee myself. It was pretty bad. And I thought Zeus was real for a moment. I was like, holy shit, who pissed him off? And now I know who pissed him off, the people at Loot Crate, because I would have been pissed off too if I got those kind of glasses. Oh my god.
So, yeah.
Seriously?
So what else did you get? Like,
there's
the green jerky.
It looks like dragon shit. It?
No, I haven't opened it. I refuse to. I'm not going to
eat
it.
Good.
God.
I would have told Matt, but he'd already opened it by the time he told me.
I had already eaten it by the time I told you. Because I was hungry. I forgot my lunch that day.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, let's go ahead and move on and get out of the whole depressing sex scandal that is Quinfish 2014.
We were still talking about that?
No, nope. We said right out of it. Thank you. Xbox One, for all you Xbox One owners out there, as lucky as you are, or as unlucky as you are, however you want to look at it, you got a whole bunch of updates this week. First and foremost, mobile purchasing finally came through to the Xbox One, which will allow you to use Smart Glass or an Xbox.com to remotely purchase games. Do not drop that link yet.
I'm not.
That's a totally separate story.
I'm aware.
Okay.
This is my first time doing chat.
I know. It's not your first time. It's not your first rodeo. We get it. You also get activity feed updates, new ways for you to interact with your friends. The interface is going to change to a single column scrolling list that is longer and includes more content. You'll be notified with anyone else when anyone likes, comments, or shares your items or any information. Each user will get a personal feed on their profile. They're kind of setting up. It's kind of like, think of like a Facebook for Xbox One, it sounds like. The cool thing is low battery notification on your Xbox One controller. So a lot of people demanded it, and now they'll get a notification when the Xbox controller is going to die. Disable notifications during video. When you're playing video, I guess you had a lot of things popping up left, right, center, and all that stuff that was interrupting your gameplay. You can now disable that. I don't see why you wouldn't disable that. Enabling 3D Blu-ray. I did not know that they can just enable that. I mean, I guess they could if the firmware on the Blu-ray drive was already built for it. An update to the Blu-ray player app will now enable 3D Blu-ray functionality on the Xbox One. And then, I'm surprised I didn't have this in the beginning. Last seen time in the friends list. So when you log on and you want to know when was your friend last on, now it'll actually tell you.
I never understood why that wasn't there before.
Yeah, I don't know.
All of that should have been there before. Like, the battery notification thing, that was on the 360.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was on the PlayStation 3 rollout. It was on the PlayStation 4 on rollout.
I don't care if it was on the PS3 or PS4 on rollout. This was on their previous console. They should have carried that over. It was a good idea.
Well, I guess they changed the software pretty much. Understand everything that they have out now, the Xbox One, Windows 8, Windows Phone, Office Online, all their crap is all built off of the whole Metro interface and Windows 8 backbone. You know, it's no longer NT like it was back in the day, where it was solid and reliable and you felt like God using it. No. It's all built off of Windows 8 backbone crap.
I will never buy an Xbox One.
I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is why we wait. This is, again, Kenori.
The only reason I would ever buy an Xbox One is if they released a JRPG on it I actually wanted to play. And that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, because Xbox is an American product, so why would they release a JRPG?
Hey, the American version of Tales of Vesperia was only released on the 360, so it can happen.
Okay.
Yeah, it's possible.
So what about you, Mike? What do you think? Should have Xbox have already had this locked up? All this shit? I mean, you are kind of Xbox guy here in the group.
I did my research. I right now I have Xbox 360, but I'm more so a console neutral kind of guy because we have a PlayStation 2, and our next console purchase is going to be a PlayStation 3 for our collection. And at this point in time, I do plan on owning both the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One at some point in time in the future. When that will be, I don't know, because they're still running a lot of updates to it. But as far as the Xbox One goes, I think that there were a lot of things that, you know, a lot of balls that got dropped when it came to the development and the programming and of it, because, you know, if you look at the overall development from when they first announced that they were working on it to when they released it, there was a lot of shit that was going back and forth. They went through two or three project leads that they actually had to, I think two project leads had to be replaced, and the third one finally got it to beta after being in alpha for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And when they released it, I think it just, with all of the chaos that went through, I think some of the things just slipped through the cracks, and they were finally able to get through all of it, and that's probably partially why they finally were able to do the whole battery notification for the Xbox One controllers like they did with the 360.
I mean, you can chalk it up to development and all that, but the end game was I blame Steve Ballmer for that shit too, because he had a vision and it failed.
Well, yeah, it was supposed to be his baby, but it actually got taken away from him early on in development, and people don't realize that, because it got to a point where he's like, yeah, I love this. These are my ideas. These are great ideas. It's going to be great. He pushed hardcore for this, and when, like, six or 9 months after they started developing in it and started doing the prototype models for it, he just backed away from it. He's like,
right.
Gonna do.
Any other thoughts on this, guys? John Porta.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sad more than anything about the Xbox One right now, only because, like, we talk about what we talk about: Halo for the original Xbox, Halo, fucking Fable, really really sexy titles. You get to the 360. Yeah. We're talking about Oblivion. We're talking about Halo 3. A number of things, and even like the arcade on the 360 was good. It was very good. And then we get to the Xbox One, and I recently watched a video of some of the indie games that are on there that are just, they're fucking crude. Like, there's no better way to put it. They're horrible. And, like, I don't know. I mean, I have faith in the Xbox franchise because they've done it. They know what works. They know what's good. They know how to make money.
Right.
I feel like they're kind of falling flat on their heads on this Xbox One stuff as of right now.
Well, speaking on the indie, defending the indie titles, just so you know, like, when the Xbox One first was coming out, they didn't say specifically that they were going to support indie titles, so the lack of good indie titles on the Xbox One is their own fault.
And the fact is that they, I don't know who did this, but they came up with the same issues that they had when Microsoft released Vista. They announced Vista to everyone, all the developers, and they sent out the developer kits, and then they found out, the base coding is actually crap, so we're having to change it. So, like, 18 months into it, these developers are about to actually go to Microsoft with their their beta products, and Microsoft goes, "Oh, we screwed up. Here's the new developer kits. You're gonna have to restart from. You're gonna have to start from scratch and go from there." And unfortunately, they did the same thing with the Xbox One when they sent their, because there were 5 major contractors that were working with indie developers, and Microsoft sent the developer kits to these 5 contractors. When those contractors distributed the developer kits to all those who registered, they were like, okay, they started working on it. Well, I think it was 9 months after those were distributed. It was probably a year and some change into Xbox One's alpha phase. And when they pushed them out, and probably 9 months after that is when developers at Xbox were like, whoops, we screwed up. Jeez. Here's the new developer kits.
Oh, wow.
So that's why they're so crude, because a lot of those indie developers were like, well, we don't have the money or the time to go back and start from scratch. So
yeah, and you can't blame them. I mean, if that's the case. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, if I was an indie developer and Microsoft came back to me and said, oh, you got to rechange your whole base code. I'm not going to do that. So, I'm just not going to put it on your product, and you're just going to be SOL. I'll go to Steam, or I'll go to GOG or wherever. Rython, any thoughts?
No, that's exactly what it is. You can't make the changes that long after dropping.
Exactly. What about you, Kanori?
I don't give a shit about the Xbox One. I've said this in the previous episode. It can suck a dick.
I still got to ask you. You know how that shit works out. All right, so let's move on to something I actually give a damn about.
Yay!
But is the question.
I am so happy about this. As you may or may not know, when we were doing beta testing for the Noob Shelter many, many moons ago, I successfully managed to have my first special. It's not posted anywhere, so sorry, guys, because it was horrible. I ended up giving up and playing Minecraft. I played Surgeon Simulator 2014, and it was... I played it before. I actually streamed it on Twitch. It's really frustrating, fun game, but the things you can do is just amazing. Things you can't do. You have to play the fucking game to understand. Well, anyways, it's one of my favorite games. It's on my top 10 list of things to kill a goat with. now, they just released DLC for it on Steam, and it is now available for $2.99. So if you have the game, you can buy the DLC for $3. If you don't have the game, you can buy the full game for $13. Highly recommend you guys, you guys out there play it if you haven't. Any of you guys played Surgeon Simulator?
Nope.
No.
What the fuck?
Hey, it's...
Fuck you.
I'm gonna be real with you right now. I got bronchitis. So ain't nobody got time for that.
Wait, did you really have bronchitis now?
No.
God, no.
I fucking hate you, John.
Between Surgeon Simulator
gave me AIDS.
And Octodad are ones that I want to play that look frustratingly, like, annoying, but still fun to play. But I have yet to pick them up.
But in this game, though, in the original game, before the DLC, you can redo brain surgery, heart surgery, kidney surgery, all while being on a gurney or while being in an ambulance. You can also do, there's a hidden alien surgery that you can do. There's also a hidden surgery Team Fortress 2 based. If you guys remember Meet the Medic, they built a surgery off of that where you're the medic and you're operating on the heavy and you're removing his heart and replacing it with a bovine heart, and then you're putting on a piece of metal, and then you're fusing it up with life, and then, like, he just gets all big and beasty and starts killing everybody. It's really great. That's a hidden one as well, too. I'll tell you guys to get it. But this one here will allow you to actually do eye surgery and work on teeth. I think you're just pulling teeth. I don't know if they're going to have you replace the teeth, because with everything else you take out in the original game, you have to replace it. So I'm gonna get it once I get some money, and then I'll do a playthrough on it, let you guys know how it is. It's going to be pretty pimp.
So. Poison the teeth is just you chucking a bunch of teeth in the mouth.
I'm thinking, yeah, you just throw teeth in the mouth and then bam, A plus surgery.
Close enough.
Close enough. That's pretty much what the game is. You can get A plus just by throwing a heart in the dude's chest. You don't have to reattach it. The main thing is you unattach it with scalpels and everything and yanking it out. And then you just take out other organs that are in your way and break ribs with a hammer. And then you throw the heart in there and then bam, it's done. Or you throw the kidneys in there and bam, it's done. Doesn't matter.
Well, the nurses have to clean up the rest.
Yeah, exactly. I'm done. I threw the shit in there. You guys put it together. Anyway, so moving on for you Pokemon fans out there. We've been talking about Pokemon a little bit here on the Noob Shelter. As you all know, Omega Ruby and Sapphire, or Alpha Sapphire, are coming out. Those are the stupidest names for a fucking goddamn Pokemon game.
You're the stupidest name for a goddamn Pokemon game.
Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
If you knew anything about the Hoenn lore, you wouldn't understand why they chose those names.
It should be like Super Hyper Ruby Mega Alpha Sapphire or DX Plus Turbo.
Okay, we're getting two Japanese here.
Let's
move on.
Well, I'm going to cast my vote on Pokemon
Super Big Ass Taco.
With super big ass fries in a cup.
Some rumors about
Blue and Red being remade for the DS is downloadable. Is there any
This might be it.
We don't know, and let's get into this. So a mysterious site claiming a big announcement popped out of nowhere. I believe it was I forgot who caught it. I think it was Kotaku who caught it, or Screw Attack. I think it was Screw Attack. It stated that some big announcement is going to be coming out on the 27th of this month. Now, the CEO of the Pokemon Company and Bunbun Maru of the Japanese gaming magazine Famitsu will both be presenting during the broadcast, adding more legitimacy that this could be a new Pokemon announcement. Legit or not, though, the tease doesn't keep fans from speculating, of course, as many trainers believe the use of the word stunning refers to the rumored detective game starring franchise mascot and electric-type Pokemon Pikachu. Now, late last summer, the CEO stated a never-before-seen game started being developed since the summer of 2013, going on to say Pikachu is featured in a bold new way. So we could potentially end up getting maybe Pikachu Sings the Blues or some shit like that for the Nintendo Wii U, where you have to sing into your Wii U tablet device. Whatever the title is going to be, it's supposedly slated for 2015. No indication if there will be a North American release, but if it's Pokemon related, you damn straight it's going to be released in America. Anyways, so what do you guys think? I mean, you guys think this could be a new Pokemon game, or?
I don't like to jump on the hype train or anything, because last time I jumped on the hype train, my hopes got dashed, and after that happened, the hype train is. It doesn't fit my fat gut anymore.
What about you, Rhythm?
It sounds like they're just making another Hey You Pikachu for the...
It could be. The key word being Pikachu in the news story and everywhere I read that he's going to be in a new fashion, it makes me agree with you with that.
I heard something about the Great Detective Pikachu game that they were working on.
Oh, God. Porta, what do you think?
I'm not going to say that like you guys would all owe me $5 if I guess right, but they may or may not be introducing the world's most difficult FPS, Pokemon Snap 2.
Oh, shit. Pokemon Snap was not difficult.
I
played that game religiously, but yeah, it wasn't difficult.
But there's no Blockbuster. How are we supposed to print out our pictures?
At the Pokemon Centers in the mall. What about you, Fitz? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I'm so out of the loop when it comes to Pokemon. I mean, the only actual Pokemon game that I played that I actually enjoyed was Pokemon Red all those years ago. And at this point in time, as far as the Nintendo DS or 3DS goes, you know, I actually used to have a DS Lite.
Right.
But none of those games were Pokemon. I'm not really that much of a fan of this series, although I'm not going to bash it because, you know, at one point in time I did play it, and, you know, I still wouldn't mind being able to find, like, a Game Boy Advance SP and actually picking up a copy of Pokemon Red. Just go old school and play Pokemon for once. There
you
go. So,
if you ever want, I got Blue running around here somewhere you can borrow.
Yeah.
If I may interject here, Mike, I would strongly recommend, I mean, if you got the money to swing it, X and Y took huge strides towards, like, moving it not towards an adventure category, but you have all the components of what you're used to, and it's just more seamless. It's just not as hard / grindy, and, like, you get your nostalgia even from Pokemon. You don't even know, like, I went from Red and Blue. I was a big fan of Red and Blue. Didn't get Yellow. I did Silver and Gold. Didn't finish them. Years later, I bought a 3DS here, and I got Pokemon X, and I absolutely loved it. Like, I don't regret a thing with that. And if you do have money to swing it, the X and Y titles are fabulous. I mean, like, they're just good.
Yeah.
Well, the
and then you also get a 3DS out of that, and the 3DS is one of the greatest game handheld systems out there. There's a lot of really awesome titles for it, and I'm still working hard on trying to get a 3DS in my hands right now. So,
well, at this point in time, I'm more than likely to buy a DS Lite again than I would a 3DS because there are a lot of games that I had.
Are 3D guys are 3DS games for you 3DS owners? Are they compatible with DS Lite?
No,
they're not.
So you if you want to be cheap about it, get a 2DS.
Yeah, get a 2DS. Well, they're ugly looking, but they function just the same.
Well, the reason why I'd be getting a DS Lite is because I'd still be able to play Game Boy Advance games on it. Because there are quite a few Game Boy Advance games that I had.
That's the rub right there. That's the downside of all this is that, you know, you got to sacrifice your old Advance games to get a 3DS, which I'm willing to do because I actually own an SP around here.
Yeah. You've got the SP, you can play all the way back to regular Game Boy games.
Oh, and I'm going
to
be doing some...
Well, that's just it, though. Well, not necessarily, because the original DS, you could play all the way back to regular
Nintendo games. I don't know about original. Could you guys? I don't remember with the DS. Could you?
Play I don't remember the original. If you could go all the way back to the beginning,
I know you could do advanced though.
Yes,
you could do advanced in the original DS, but after beyond that, no. I tried to play Dragon Quest III for the Game Boy Color on it, and you couldn't.
Oh yeah, Game Boy Color. That was a totally different beast altogether. I mean,
yeah, that's why I kept my SP around, is it could handle all the older games, like, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Well, too.
I was able to play regular Game Boy games on the original DS. It's when you got to the DS Lite that they changed because
I think that might be correct. I think he might be correct on that. I'll research that up and we'll talk about it later. But
well, because the original Game Boy and Game Boy Color game cartridges are completely rectangular, but the Game Boy Advance cartridges are not keyed, and the way they kept you from playing regular Game Boy games and Game Boy Color games on the DS slot is the fact that the slot that they allowed you to use for Game Boy Advance games was keyed, so you could only play Game Boy Advance games. You couldn't go any further back than that.
Right. All right. So we're gonna go ahead and take an unscheduled break here. Something's going on in the background I need to go check on real quickly. So, guys, hang out real quickly. You know the drill. We'll be right back here on the Noob Shelter. Just hang out tight. We're not going to play any... this should be a really quick break. So go ahead and take a stretch if you need to. We'll be right back, guys. Hang on, and we'll be back.
I wonder if it's dangerous.
So, it along the same lines as last week with the Fish Plays Pokemon, I'm watching two fish play Street Fighter right now. They've been jumping up and down for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, that's good. I guess...
come on now. You're watching fish. You have fish sunglasses. Dear God.
They look like two fish kissing.
No, it's like the... It's literally one fish. I mean, the one side is its ass, and the other side is its head. Those actually came in the loot crate?
Yeah.
I'd be pissed.
Well, look, they're supposed to be...
Oh, Donatello. It's supposed to be Donnie's mask.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, that makes more sense now. Like this, it looks like a purple... You're wearing a purple fish. Okay. Oh, now I'm jealous.
John, did you see my post on Facebook? I know the other John did.
Oh.
John Rifhorn.
Right.
All right, guys, we're back. Sorry about that. Sometimes life happens here on the Noob Shelter, and we gotta jump up and
go. I was showing John Porta what happened, like my friend's Facebook page. And,
what happened?
Oh, it's a bit well, so we'll talk about it in a bit.
Okay, we'll get time. I mean, we'll talk about it. Let's go ahead and feed the beast that is the PC Master Race real quickly here. So, Windows 9, we've been talking about it the last couple episodes, and we're going to still talk about it, because I'm on the fence with it. I don't know if anyone's really excited about it after we saw Windows 8. But according to ZDNet's veteran Microsoft reporter, a technology preview version of Windows 9 is coming out in late September or October, with a final release scheduled for spring of 2015. Now, here's the kicker here, is that the preview might actually be available to the public. Thoughts?
I'd be cool with it.
I mean, I don't know. Like, again, I live by the rule where I wait until the first service pack or upgrade comes out, but, I mean, I don't know.
I would, too. But the thing is I'm excited about Windows 9 because, like we said before, if Microsoft keeps their trend, every other operating system comes out is going to be the best one ever.
Exactly. Like, Windows 1 was tits, Windows 2 sucked, Windows 3... Well, the only issue with that was Windows 3.0 sucked. Windows 3.11 kicked ass. Windows 95 actually was pretty good after, like, a couple of updates. Windows 8 was awesome. Well, it was okay.
98.
Windows 98, thank you. It was awesome. The second edition made it even better. Yeah. And then Windows ME came out with shit. Windows XP came out and was awesome. Windows Vista came out and was shit. Windows 7 came out and was awesome. Windows 8 came out and it was shit.
But, yeah, I actually had a theory about that. They had they released Windows 7. I'm like, wow, they finally ran out of names. But I didn't thinking actually. I wasn't.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
It happens, Mike. Get used to it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it really does. Still entertaining. As far as Windows Millennium Edition comes, I actually personally didn't have to deal with it because I
dealt with it
worked
once.
I got familiar and I got to work with 2000 Professional. I was spoiled.
Yeah, that's
that
nice.
Was, 2000 that was NT based. Yeah, it was 2000 NT based.
Was good.
Marvelous.
Yep, 2000 was good. Like, with, what was it, Windows ME, I played with it once, and I would never play with it again, because when I installed it, it killed my video card, and it fried my floppy drive.
Oh, no, bro.
The operating system to that shit?
Yeah.
I don't know how, but I installed Windows ME, and then I went to install the video card drivers for Windows ME. And then my video card died, and then my whole computer crashed, and I couldn't get... You remember that, Kenori. I think you were there. My computer took a dive, man, that one day. We were in Spokane, up on Hogan. We were living out of the bedroom there, and it was bad, and my computer just died.
Oh, you were pissed.
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out... I was trying to find a floppy so I can re-image the... I didn't have a... It was complicated, guys. It was a long story. I needed a floppy for something. I don't remember exactly what, but I had to... I was scrambling around. I finally went and bought a floppy for $5 at a computer store.
Nice.
And then I hooked it up and got my computer back onto Windows 98. Eventually, though, I did end up getting to... what was it? Windows 2000, which I was my longest-running operating system, even while XP was out. Windows 2000 was pretty solid, and then when Service Pack 2 came out of Windows XP, I heard all the good things about it. I jumped on that. So,
yeah, what people don't realize is that when Windows ME came out as such a failure, they started they took the 2000 architecture and they created a consumer version, because 2000 was released 3 months before ME was, and right. ME was the consumer version, but 2000 Professional was commercial only. It was only for the private sector. It wasn't for any consumers.
Right, yeah.
And the only reason why I was able to access it is because my dad is in the industry as well, and he brought home copies, and all of our machines.
The only reason why I was able to get it was a girl I was seeing at the time gave me a copy, you know?
Yeah.
You know it's geek love when a girl gives you a copy of an OS and says, here, baby, install this. Yeah. And welcome to another edition of Matt Fugitive's Therapy Sessions.
Yeah, really. Running gag
from last episode. So anyways, here's the biggest deal, though, with Windows 9. If you guys don't remember from us talking about it before, Start Menu's coming back. It's going to be a hybrid of the original Start Menu and the Metro screen with its little tiles, which I'm not too fond about. Another big change, though, will be modern apps. Or Metro apps, as you want to call them, will be able to run on the standard desktop in a windowed mode, which is nice. And here's the big one that some people might actually care about. I don't know what I would use this for. Cortana is making her way to the Windows 9, more than likely. If you don't know, Cortana is scheduled to be the Siri or Google Now software of the Windows 8.1 phones when they get their update. If they haven't already hit. So, I mean, are you guys, I mean, now with all that, I mean, are you guys still excited for Windows 9?
It's Mike? Not 8.
John, go ahead. Jonathan Rythone.
It's not Windows 8.
That's a good point. However, I'm currently running Windows 8.1, and I have to say it's substantially better than Windows 8.
I told you.
I got it running, and the difference there are still, it's still similar to Windows 8, but the changes between 8 and 8.1 and the stability of 8.1, you know, kind of made me feel better about it. As far as Windows 9 comes, I'm actually looking forward to it because they're taking a lot of Windows 7 and putting it back into a new operating system.
Yay!
Like you said, they...
no innovation. I mean, previews, they're just recycling, but...
Well, previews will... Yeah, no innovation, but, I mean, if it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
Thank you, yeah, I will go...
Come on, now.
What about you, Porta?
Oh, no, I don't know. 9 sounds like it's going to be the good shit. I was gonna be lewd and be like, introducing Windows dog fart, like, you know, for 9. But no, it sounds good. There's a lot of excitement for it. I'm like fitting into the niche where it's like I'm skipping OSs. Like, yeah. I went from XP to 7.
It's become the common thing now. You know, hell, it's even getting that way with some Linux distros. Oh, I'm just gonna skip version 14 and wait for version 17 to come out or something.
Yeah.
What about you, Kanori?
I'm happy with 7 as it is.
But if 7 goes the way of XP...
I'll move on to 9, like I do with, okay. with 7.
You're going to be that fucking guy fucking guy that pisses off everyone out there in the development community because you're still fucking running Windows 7 with my Internet Explorer 11. You're going to be that old fuck.
That's just it, though. Is it? You mentioned Windows 7 going the way of Windows XP. I see it happening, but
we're already on extended support.
Well, I know that, but at this point in time, with Windows 9 having the same basic architecture as Windows 7, I don't think they'll really need to do that because the Windows 7, the upgrade from 7 to 9 will go off without a hitch.
I gotta find
it's
this.
It's already been proven.
I gotta find this for the next show. If we talk about Windows 9 in the next show. And we bring up this conversation about staying on Windows 7. There, Steve Gibson, he's the security guru. He writes for security forums all over the place. He has a show on twit.tv called Security Now. He's got a wonderful little spiel he did about Windows XP and how it's still a reliable operating system if you know what you're fucking doing. Not for your grandma or your grandpa, but if you're a power user like me or Mike or Ken or Rythone or Porta, you should know how to keep your operating system healthy, stay off the porn sites, sadly. You know, get a tablet for that if that's what you really want to do. You know what I mean? Get a Linux box if that's what you want to do. Go watch porn on the Linux box.
Yeah, really.
Anyways, moving on. Continuing on the PC Master Race blurb here. So, the Intel Haswell CPU. I am actually really happy about this. This is kind of cool because it kind of gives me a euphoric, it reminds me of days gone past. Somebody managed to overclock a Haswell CPU to over 7 gigs using liquid nitrogen. Oh, I got to show you guys this picture, though. It's hilarious. So check this out. So you see this computer right here? It is, let me see if I can click in the image. Of course it won't let me. There we go. Oh, you guys can't see it. Oh, fucking shit. Because it opened it up in a preview screen. Hang on a second.
Well, I put the link in, and we can all just click that and follow through.
Yeah, there we go. There it is. Here, I'll drop the... So you see right here, this guy's got towels surrounding his CPU and a metal cone, and he just pours liquid nitrogen into there just to keep it cool. I believe the Haswells, what are they up to, 3 gigs now?
3.5 as far as I remember. I think the Haswells are approaching 4.
Okay. So, he's up to, like, if you want to go megabits, let me go back here real quickly here. Let me get back into add a browser mode. Megabits, 7,193.8 megahertz. Sorry, megahertz, gigahertz, megahertz. So, anyways, Qui Lam, I don't know if I'm spelling that name right or pronouncing it right. He's apparently having a lot of fun as he just set a new world record for the Intel Core i7, the 47770K. He managed to overclock the chip to a very respectable 7,193.8 megahertz, which is the highest frequency recorded for any Haswell product to date. Of course, there are certain costs to reaching such high frequency. These include using liquid nitrogen for cooling, as well as a staggering core voltage of 2.048 volts. The CPU's hyperthreading also had to be disabled, along with two of its cores.
Yeah. Of course, along with that, the what they probably won't mention is the fact that having overclocked that, they pretty much will bricked that processor. It's not going to work nearly as well. It's probably going to die within like a week or so after that.
Right. So, it probably would. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it to any modder out there to actually do that because that's just stupid. Any of you guys ever overclock?
Once.
What did you, Kenori, what did you overclock? What was it?
My GPU, and it was the worst decision of my life.
Story time. Come on, story time, man. Story time. Come
I
on.
Just had to give it a new thing of Arctic Silver. That's it. But, every time I would...
What did you do? Like, what was it at originally? What did you overclock it to?
I overclocked it as high as my card can go.
Okay.
And it...
What kind of a card was it?
It's an AMD. It's still working. I'm still using it. I just had to put some more Arctic Silver 5 on it.
So it's still a seed?
No. Oh, okay. But when it was clocking at like 90.
And that's
90
it,
Celsius.
You never overclocked anything else, but you got that.
That's it.
What about you, Porter? You ever do any overclocking?
No, the guy... So I have one guy that... I just pay money to, and he builds me a computer. And okay. Like his opinion is that when you go like all AMD, like a lot of the stuff just comes out the gate overclocked a little bit.
Yeah.
Where I don't have a problem with just getting that. Like I've never tempted fate. I don't need extra processing power. I've got I've got my 3.2 gigahertz. I like that. I believe like 16 gigs of RAM. Like I'm okay with that. Like I could do with a better video card and like a faster hard drive. That's about it. You know, I don't want to tempt fate. I don't want to blow anything up. I've blown up fucking power supplies, video cards, motherboards. I've sparked all of it, and like I just don't want to tempt fate.
What about you, Rhythm?
I overclocked. I thankfully was able to do a restore, but we tweaked the video card up to where its display was cutting out or not displaying at all. We made sure to do a save prior to tweaking it any further so that we had a last known working setup.
Right.
So we didn't lose the card, but okay. we lost the display for a while.
Nice. What about you, Fitzpatrick? I know you had to have.
Yeah, I've overclocked. I've overclocked. Well, I don't overclock graphics cards because personally I think it's a waste if you actually have to pull apart a graphics card because you overclocked it and you have to replace the thermal grease in it. That says something because those things are not meant to be taken apart.
I just want to show the planet real quickly. If you don't know what a video card looks like and you've been living in a barn, this is my old Asus card. It's a 550 Ti, NVIDIA. I had to take it out because I made the mistake of mining Bitcoin with it, and I think I might have fucking killed it. I will take it apart eventually and try some more thermal grease to see if I can reclimate it. But yeah, this is what a video card looks like. And if you can see, it's not really easy to take apart. Well, this one isn't too bad. You just got to pop out a couple screws, but then you got these little plastic knobbies here. They have to pop out, and then if you break them, you're kind of SOL, and it's, yeah. So don't. Anyways, as you were saying, Mike, go ahead, continue.
As far as graphics cards go, they're not really made to be overclocked to the extreme because their cooling is limited at the very least. I mean, as far as processing goes, I have overclocked a couple processors, both AMD and Intel, and I've noticed that while over the top overclocking tends to go to Intel, which obviously cuts the life of the processor down.
Yeah.
Sustainable overclocking has to go to AMD. They've been doing it longer, and a lot of processors, including Intel, have started actually giving you the option of doing basically a factory overclock, which is pretty much what it's called.
Yeah.
In some cases, turbo, where they give a basic...
Oh, yeah, I've seen
that. The basic speed, and then they'll give the turbo speed, which is the factory overclock. Wow. And then if you go to support sites, you're able to actually find their peak safe overclocking numbers, which I'll have to find the link. I know I have it here somewhere. Yeah. But I overclocked. The last thing I overclocked was I have an FM2 plus AMD processor. It's quad core at 3.2 gigahertz. I did a quick test on turbo. It's at 3.5 with all four cores.
Right.
Running at 75%.
Nice.
Nice. Very nice.
I overclocked it at. I did a safe because I didn't really want to burn out my upgrade. So I did an overclock, and this is with the stock fans in my machine to 4.5, running at, I think the numbers were 87%.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I probably could have broken 5 at 95 to 100% if I tried, but I wasn't going to. So that's the extent of my recent overclocking. I've probably overclocked probably 2 dozen processors over the last 10 years.
Well, I kind of figured if anybody was going to overclock anything, it'd be you, man. I mean, you know, you're legit. Let me go ahead and bring my stories back up here. Let's go ahead and move on to another topic real quickly. Okay. So, and I know this is the one John's like, oh man, I want to be on the show for. And I'm talking about Rhythone here. So, good guy Mojang. I don't know if you guys have heard of the mod named Bucket. Bucket, it's a server mod for Minecraft that allows the seamless management of multiple mods and add-ons, if I'm correct, right, Rhythone?
That is, it's one of them. It was one of the older ones used in the earlier days of Tekkit. But,
yeah, because I remember Tekkit and Bucket being hand-in-hand.
But so, Bucket's still around. It's just used less.
So this is going to get filed. This story is going to get filed under our Derp of the Month Club section here. Earlier this week, Bucket developer Warren Liu wrote a farewell message on the Bucket forums, stating that development was coming to the end of Bucket. It's been an amazing run, and we've achieved much more than anyone thought was possible, even ultimately culminating in Mojang hiring our original core team. Unfortunately, all good things come to an end, and the Bucket Project has run its course, leaving me to make one final incredibly difficult decision to shut down the project I've poured 3.5 years of my life into. So he was getting ready to close up shop, bring down the shutters, you know, have a fire sale. Lou did overlook one little thing, though. He did overlook one little factor. Warren over at Bucket seems to have forgotten that the project was bought by Mojang over 2 years ago. And it isn't his to discontinue. And that was quoted by Jen Bergenstein of Mojang. He tweeted that shortly after the announcement went up. This means Bucket always has a special relationship in regards to things such as the EULA, and if Warren is bored, we need to do something. maybe fire him off the project and replace him with somebody else. Jeb, as he goes by on Twitter, did confirm that he was being entirely serious. We dug up the receipt just to be sure he was quoted as saying. And Lou quickly acknowledged that that Jeb was in the right. And yes, Mojang does own Bucket. Them acquiring us was a condition to being hired, he tweeted. If Mojang wants to continue Bucket, I'm all for it. So now the header on the post says that there's more of this, more to come on this, and please stand by. So Bucket might not be totally dead. I don't know what Mojang would do with it. Rython, what you're in the modding community of Minecraft, so you're the de facto guy. Thoughts? What do you think?
I'm hoping that what this means is that in some of the newer versions of Minecraft coming out, we might start seeing more along the lines of kind of like the multi-part structures and different machines and all that that we've gotten since the early
days. That would be
Tekken.
I just want a fucking nuke. That's the only reason why I play mods, is just so I can have a nuke and boom. And then I have to drink milk to clear the rads out of my body.
Quick note, as I know this is kind of a little far gone, but as far as Windows 9, real quick, I know you mentioned, Matt, that they were coming out with previews end of September, beginning of October. Well, I'm a member of Microsoft's TechNet, and I got a notice a few days ago about early previews for TechNet users,
okay,
and IT professionals. I will be able to mess around with Windows 9.
Cool. Let me know.
3 or 4 weeks. So.
Cool. Let me know, man. Going back onto the Minecraft thing, though, Porta, have you played Minecraft at all? I think you have, right?
My take on that is I'm the God. This is going to be children, shield your ears. I'm the giant. The biggest pussy when it comes to like angry noises. Like,
oh God, oh, that's right. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, I played Minecraft a little bit, and getting those creepers that just like all that noise. Like, I couldn't handle it. Like, not seeing what was coming at me and just blowing me up and killing me.
That's why they have a peaceful mode for that, man.
Peaceful. Yeah,
it's called creep.
Yeah, you can't farm any creatures though, or do any cool stuff like having a skeletal archer shoot a creeper and get a record out of it. But
when I was playing, there was no option for that. It was just
you
played
must have been way in the beginning.
Yes, yes, it was. So like I just couldn't handle it.
You should jump back in now, man. I think it's good now. I mean, they got a whole bunch of new shit. And you can ride horses now and donkeys and shit and have a good time.
Nice.
What about you, Kenori? I mean, I know you don't really care anymore.
Oh, I used to play the hell out of Minecraft.
You should play more, man. We could be
I'm
building.
I'm too busy with WildStar, bro.
Ah, yeah.
WildStar. It's fucking good.
And our last topic for tonight, as some of you may or may not have heard, I have been re-sucked back into World of Warcraft. I have made Cap. I finally hit 90. No, I'm not going to show the fucking video. Don't worry. You guys embarrassed me last night. You're like, oh, look at him. He's showing you level cap video.
That was me. That was just me. And I have a right to do that. I'm your fucking brother.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so For those of you guys who, this is for our England people. I don't think anyone from England's watching us, nor gives a shit. but the World of Warcraft subscription costs are going up this November for the UK region, okay? So the cost of subscribing to Blizzard's MMORPG, World of Warcraft, is going to rise on November 3rd, when the new expansion drops, Warlords of Draenor, on November 13th. The announcement was made on the World of Warcraft forums for the European region by Blizzard community manager Tapesilum. I'm gonna fuck you guys and your names. According to the post, the recommended retail pricing of the subscription periods will be increased to £9.99 for 30 days, £28.17 for 90 days, £52.14 for 180 days. The 60-day prepaid cards will have a suggested retail price of £20.99. Now, at present, the subscription pricing stands at £8.99, £25.17, and £46.14 for, you know, as is. This marks increases of up to £6 when the changes hit November. However, Blizzard also announced that World of Warcraft subscribers who are currently on the recurrent subscription will be able to retain their current subscription price for 2 years as long as the subscription is not interrupted. So, if you're constantly, you know, on your recurring, and if you break it, you're fucked. You got to pay an extra dollar for your, you know, extra anywhere from a dollar or a pound to like £6 for your subscription again. This will extend to players who sign up for auto renewing subscriptions before Warlords of Draenor expansion is released. There is now. I remember I was on Kenora, your event channel. Somebody did mention that this was going to happen in the U.S. I honestly don't see this happening in the United States. If it does, you can prove me wrong. Please send me an email, noobshelter@gmail.com. Hit me up at Twitter, at Matt Fugitive or at noobshelter. Guys, shoot me on Facebook if I'm on your Facebook. Please, by all means. If I'm wrong in the fact that this is not going to hit the United States, give me proof and I will correct myself. And I will show my nipple on Noob Shelter or some shit like that. I don't know.
Show us your ass.
No.
Whoa.
No, 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 no. I've been having issues down there. You don't want to see that right now.
Yeah, fucking gross. I'm sick now. Fucking goddamn it.
Along with them.
Yeah. You haven't mentioned the gross shit, though.
We should play Nate Fillion's public service announcement about swamp ass.
Yes. John was trying to put a link there in chat. I went ahead and found what he was linking to, going along with last week's.
Oh God!
Bob Williams being his character is going to be a genie. Game.
Yeah. Speaking of which, if you guys don't remember, last week we talked about Robin Williams. We even put a little spiel up for him. It was nice. There is a source code in the next expansion that is more than likely going to. That more than likely reveals a new NPC called Robin the Entertainer. And this is coming from IGN News.
Yep.
He may be a genie. They're not exactly sure. Some commenters have already pointed out the fact that he's a genie leaves the door open for him to shapeshift into other forms, with the idea of a troll called Jumanji being a very popular suggestion. Other forms spotted include a human female, likely a nod to Mrs. Doubtfire, and a human male who we may suspect be Mork. I would pay fucking money to see that shit. They put Mork in World of Warcraft. We don't know where the characters will feature, or whether they'll offer any quests or the like. But as Blizzard has yet to confirm, these are the tributes it previously promised. Earlier this week, though, earlier in the week, Nintendo did respond to a fan petition, because if you guys don't know, Robin Williams' daughter is named Zelda, based off of Zelda from Legend of Zelda series. While it extends its condolences to his family and friends, it stops short of taking any plans of paying tribute to Robin Williams in any of their games, especially Legend of Zelda. Now, if I remember correctly, the fan petition was to get Robin Williams included, or a likeness of him in one of the upcoming Legend of Zelda titles.
Or even just rename an NPC Robin.
Yeah, or even that, yeah. I mean, that's not that hard. I could do that with my eyes closed, and I don't know game coding to save my fucking life.
It needs to be meaningful, though, and I think they're going to do that.
I hope they do. I mean, I hope Nintendo does something for Robin Williams. I mean, he did name his daughter after one of their lead titles.
And he was a huge figurehead after Ocarina of Time 3D came out. He and his daughter advertised the shit out of that.
But again, what do you guys? Let's go back to the subscription thing first. What do you guys think? You think Blizzard's gonna up it in the U.S.?
Yeah, because they're still...
probably.
No, I don't think so because their numbers are there. I mean, the reason why they're increasing them in the UK is because their numbers started to decline. Right. As interest is starting to wane in
I actually heard the opposite. Honestly, what I heard was their numbers took a shit here, and yet their numbers are going up in the European Union.
Hmm.
That's what
their
I
numbers
heard.
Are going down here.
Yeah, I know their numbers are going down here. They're drowning. They even said in a press statement that they don't expect to have a boost when the new expansion comes out. They just expect it to stay where it is. What about you, Porta? Do you? I mean, you're MMO god here for the most part.
With a subscription fee, I don't know that they'd do it in America. I feel like there would be a fucking uprising if they raised it by a penny, because Americans have this weird sense of entitlement. So I don't know that they'd do it here. If they did, there would be a fucking revolt. Like how big.
Everyone would be marching on the Blizzard's campuses in California.
A fucking a dollar? Are you kidding me? I want a fixed income. Like,
right? Oh yeah. Oh. Fixed income includes chips, Mountain Dew, and my subscription to WoW.
Cheetos, Mountain Dew.
Now, Rython, you said yeah, they probably will. What makes you think that? I mean, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, if they can get more money out of it over there, I can see them easily trying to. Even if just a little bit raise it over here, it's just what businesses do when they're able to raise prices in any one region.
Now, Porta and Kanori, this is for you guys because I know you guys actually play the game or have played it in the past. Would you go back if they upped it a dollar and offered you some epic mount or some epic piece of gear?
I would go back if they didn't offer shit because it's just a dollar. Who gives a shit?
You would? Okay.
My take is I would never go back because I lost everything I had due to an account hack that I couldn't recover.
What?
I didn't have an option. I just didn't care. But no, I would never go back only because WildStar, and I'm gonna say that, I'm gonna just put it the fuck out there, WildStar offers players like an adventure game that you can continue to play for no actual money. Like, you can get game time in-game currency,
which is
fucking
awesome.
That's what
I'm going to get with my WildStar praise, too. Finishing up for tonight, folks, I will talk about WildStar here just for a bit, because I did actually play the game this week. I played it with Kanori and his guild, and he was kind enough to roll a new tune and help me get started on my questing. It's an interesting game, to say the least. I originally thought of it as, and somebody actually gave me kudos on this, that it feels like Jack and Dexter meets Firefly.
That's a good way to put it.
The stylizing of the game has a Jack and Dexter feel if you're into that that particular platform, but the storyline and just the way everything is kind of played out, it has a Firefly feel to it. Like, you know, it's that gritty westernish type feel and sci-fi, western and sci-fi kind of mixed. It's really unique and it's really interesting, and I kind of enjoyed it. And talking about what Porter was saying, one of the unique things about WildStar that's got me definitely going to get the game and jumping in and giving it the full-on fugitive rinse here is going to be the fact that you can actually use game money, in-game money, to pay for your subscription. What was it, 1.9 plat or something like that?
Five and a half. But that's not the unique thing, okay? Buying
to me,
game
that
time,
is.
Well, no, hold on. Because you haven't played other MMOs that have done it. Because other MMOs have done it, but the thing with those is you have to work your ass off to do it.
Yeah.
On WildStar, I bought a month of game time a week ago, and I already have a five and a half plat. I bought a bunch of gear already on the auction house, so I'm broke again.
But it is possible and very seamless to actually.
If you play casually, you'll have it. You'll have the five and a half plat for another month of it.
Yeah.
They endorse gameplay on their game, and at the same time, they express their gratitude. Like, they can basically put, okay, yeah, no, you played the game. Great. You made that money. Let's give you some game time. Let's just do that, you know. It's very courteous, as far as I understand. Because the only other MMO I've seen ever do that is Eve. And, Eve was just way too fucking hard for me.
Oh, God. was it Eve Online? No, I didn't play Eve Online. It was, I'm thinking Rift for some reason. I played that. That was interesting. That kept my attention for, an hour. And that was it. I don't know. I didn't get the hype behind it. But yeah, no, guys, WildStar is definitely worth its weight. Give it a shot. I mean, I'm sure you can find somebody out there that has a 7-day free trial. Kanori had one for me. He hooked me up, and I got to play it. And I'm in the process of procuring the game myself too. And maybe if Kanori isn't a big D-bag as he seems to be, he'll let me join his guild.
I'm part Jewish, dude. I have to hold on to my money.
You're not?
Yeah, I am. My grandma's half Jewish.
Oh, God. Yeah, you know, nobody's perfect. Anyway, so any final thoughts tonight, guys? And yeah, we've been chatting in the background. We did talk about Zoe Bitch too long. Sorry. It was an interesting conversation. It got us all to talk, and I like chaos.
Speaking of chaos, I'm going to interrupt you, Matt, because I'm going to have to hop out early because I have to use the bathroom.
Oh, fuck you.
Bye.
Okay. Hey, you're going
to... He's gone. I'm out of here, bitches. I'm fine. I've been holding it. Bye.
You had a break, dude.
My last thought is that, I think I'm going to get a Wii U only because... It's backwards compatible, and there are just so many super good titles for it. I'm so thrilled.
I hate you right now.
Really?
Yeah,
because
I want a fucking Wii U. Oh, that's why I hate you. I'm the last person on the planet that's going to get a fucking Wii U. I guarantee it. I'm always the last person to get shit. It sucks.
I'm pretty sure you're going to get one before I do.
I might. I might. You still need me, Fitz, you still need me to mod your Wii for you, man. Serious, man. $20. I'll make that shit work.
If we can come up with the money, that'd be great. But
one of these days, I will get a breakout card for my computer, and I will do a live special showing off my modded Wii, and you can see all the cool shit I've done to it. Or maybe I'll just bring it over, and you can see all the cool shit I've done to it. I have to boot it up and make sure it works first, because my wonderful, loving daughter, Annabelle, stuffed quarters in the DVD slot. And I had to get them out. And it wasn't easy. I finally took the Wii apart and got them out. And I don't know if the DVD drive still works or not, or if the lens is scratched or anything like that. So
it'll only be about $35 to $65 for Nintendo to repair it if you sent it to them.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that because then they're going to flash everything. And yeah,
not always.
Really?
Yeah, they try not to replace. Or have to flash it unless they have to.
Yeah, I just don't want to redo all those mods again, though. Even if it's out of warranty, severely out of warranty, because I opened the fucking thing up out of warranty.
Usually. Okay. They'd rather you have a working system and buy their games, which is where they make their money. They don't really make money.
See, that's where we're going to have a problem, because I don't have a hard... Right here, guys. Let me show you. This hard drive right here has a bunch of Wii games. Okay, a ton of Wii games. And because I'm poor and I can't afford their games. I'd like to buy their games, but I can't. So what about you?
Can I get copies of those?
When you let me mod your Wii, sure, I'll think about it.
It's not a matter of letting you, it's a matter of actually having the money to pay you to do it.
Sorry, man, it's just time is money, and my time is money, and I need money, honey.
Well, you're going to be here on Sunday.
Well, still, time is money. I'm going there for leisure. I'm going there for leisure, not for technical support.
How long does it take?
It could take about anywhere from an hour to a couple hours, depending on your model of the Wii and if I still have the software available and all this other stuff.
Okay.
Anyways, we'll talk about it later. Rython, any last words from you before we take off?
Papaya.
L'chaim?
Papaya.
Papaya. Papaya.
Hashtag no context.
Exactly.
And with that, we'll just leave it there, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Always a pleasure to have these wonderful guys here. Mike, I hope you enjoyed your first day on the Noob Shelter. Jonathan, glad to have you back. John Porta, thank you for coming back. Kenori, he took off and took a pee. So that's it. We're out of here, guys. We hang out afterwards after the show, so please stand by our wonderful guests, and we'll talk to you in just a minute. Kenori will be doing another stream shortly after this episode. You can find it on facebook.com/noobshelter. Twitch.tv/Kenori if you want to watch the after show. And that's it. We'll talk to you later, guys. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.